for this evening's gathering, I would like to read out a couple of paragraphs from a book which is quite popular in the West in spiritual circles. It's called A Course in Miracles. Let me see if I can show it to you all. It's quite thick, as you can see, and small point size inside. A very fat book. But a tremendous depth. And I was so pleasantly surprised to see that the core of this message is not only Advaita, but very close to the teaching of my spiritual teacher, Ramesh Balsekar. So, as I was going through it, and I reached page 257. This paragraph, which I'm about to read, is exactly what my teacher spoke about day in and day out, which is nothing but peace of mind. The words are very different from what we are used to reading. It sounds a bit like old English. So if you just keep that in mind and listen to the words, you will see how the core is absolutely the same. Then follow him in joy. Him as in God, the Source, Consciousness, Jesus, call him what you may. Then follow him in joy, with faith that he will lead you safely through all dangers to your peace of mind this world may set before you. Kneel not before the altars to sacrifice, and seek not what you will surely lose. Seek not what you will surely lose. Content yourself with what you will as surely keep, and be not restless, for you undertake a quiet journey to the peace of God, where he would have you be in quietness. We walk together on the way to quietness that is the gift of God. Hold me dear, for what except your brothers can you need? What except your brothers can you need? We will restore to you the peace of mind that we must find together. The Holy Spirit will teach you to awaken unto us and to yourself. This is the only real need to be fulfilled in time. My peace I give you. Take it off me in glad exchange for all the world has offered but to take away. And we will spread it like a veil of light across the world's sad face, in which we hide our brothers from the world and it from them. This refers to that most gloriously underrated gift, which is peace of mind. Interestingly, someone sent me a mail saying, all you talk about is peace of mind. But what about the higher teachings of resting in the I am? Now, when peace of mind refers to the peace of the thinking mind, which is always in the dead past or going into an imaginary future, when the thinking mind is annihilated, what is left is abiding in one's being, abiding in I am, which is conscious presence. Where is the difference? These words that I have just read out, which refer to quietness, is the quietness that is the flavor of a still mind. And it refers to our brothers. Peace of mind is not to be found in the flow of life, which is sometimes pleasure and sometimes pain, but in one's attitude to life. And one's attitude to life is one's attitude towards the other, whoever the other may be. Be it family, relatives, colleagues, friends, or strangers. It is that attitude towards our brothers and sisters which is the doorway to peace. And that attitude when we see that we are all a brotherhood of instruments, as Rameshji would say, through whom God's will functions, then what happens is that there is no blame, condemnation, hatred, malice, jealousy, and envy. When we accept that everyone is shaped by their destiny, by their conditioning, by their genetic programming, just like I am, the obvious conclusion is that they are not the doers. That is the crow which comes in the evening and asks for water. I think I'll have to, if you excuse me for 30 seconds, I'll just fill some water in the bowl. Sorry about that. You see, we are so accustomed to looking at bodies, saying things to us or to others, that it appears they are separate from us. But if we just eliminated the body from the equation, bear with me while we walk through this. If we just take away the body from the equation, what would be left is a voice. Now, if we accept that that voice, which is coming through a person, personality, let's say body is kept aside from our vision, which is completely an instrument of God, because as I said earlier, its genetics and conditioning were not in its control, then wouldn't that be the voice of God? No matter what it says. Now let's go one step further and let's take away even the personality and only the voice is left. Is not that voice arising in one's own consciousness? Now, how far is that voice from you? Or isn't that voice within you? Next time there is an argument with someone, ponder over this. The body is a dead object. As Maharaj said, how peculiar is this body? When it is alive, it appears as one person is speaking and doing things and walking around. And when it is dead, the same body has to be carried by four people. That becomes its weight. And then there are bodies that we like and bodies that we don't like. Further distinctions are made. The light that shines through all the bodies and the light within me that makes me see the bodies is completely discounted. And the judgments start coming in. Imagine living with the awareness that everyone is an equal expression of the divine, whether we like them or not. And it is the same light that functions through everyone. I would like to explore a couple more passages which I found extremely touching in A Course in Miracles. So please bear with me. You cannot enter into real relationships with any of God's sons unless you love them all and equally. Love is not special. If you single out part of the sonship for your love, you are imposing guilt on all your relationships and making them unreal. You can love only as God loves. Seek not to love unlike Him, for there is no love apart from His. Until you recognize that this is true, you will have no idea what love is like. No one who condemns a brother can see himself as guiltless and in the peace of God. If he is guiltless and in peace and sees it not, he is delusional and has not looked upon himself. This is the love of sages. They make no distinction between someone who has been with them for many years or someone who walks into their home today. And many times their disciples cannot understand that, especially those who have associations for many years. The ego starts kicking in because it now feels no longer special. But that is precisely the love that God would have upon all his creations. And the sage is a representative of God. Such clear words. I think it was Ramakrishna who said to a woman who asked him very simply that, of course, I will love my child more than the other children. And he said, of course, but when you love the other children as your own, you will know what true love is. So you see, this sense of doership, which is the crux of not only the teaching but of the Bhagavad Gita, where we accuse people of doing things, including ourselves, then that is seen in a clear light. A lot of the garbage of the thinking mind is burnt to ash. And when that is burned to ash, the fire which burns is the fire of a still mind. In that still mind, the cartwheels and mechanics and gymnastics of the thinking mind, creating stories, identifications, attachments, imaginary situations, cannot survive. Behind all these stands an ego with its sense of doership. When you unplug the doership, all these collapse like a house of cards. I'm going to take a few more minutes to read out something more, which is on a different note. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures. Some of your greatest advances you have judged as failures, and some of your deepest retreats you have evaluated as success. This is what we do. We judge the outcomes. I will give my own case in point. When I got into book publishing, it was not really a business decision. It was because my mother had some spiritual awakenings and she drew out her experiences, and people said she must share it with the world so that others going through similar experiences feel that someone has walked down this road. And we approached various publishers. They really liked the work, but they said that since her drawings are in color, there are only two options. One is we convert it to black and white because color is too expensive to print. Or we put up the money for a color book and they will publish it. So using my common sense, the much overvalued common sense, and given my background in advertising, I said, if we have to put up our money, then we might as well publish it. And so we brought out my mother's first book, Conscious Flight into the Empyrean, which is now called Kundalini, A Gentle Force. And there was much confidence because we had all the background with the printers and the paper mills, etc., when we printed our clients' brochures in the advertising days. But little did I know that we would end up making all the mistakes in the book because we did not have the experience of book publishing. We were taken for a ride by many people. We didn't understand the dynamics of paper sizes, processing charges, and so on and so forth. And in the early days, no one wanted to look at us. So we went from bookshop to bookshop with three copies of the book. And a very famous bookstore at that time took those three copies, called me up after a month and ordered five more copies, which I sent. And I said, please, can I have the money of the first three copies? And the money never came till today. Now, one would judge this as a failure. But thanks to that book, I learned so much about publishing in such a short span of time that it certainly was not a failure. But you see, we tend to judge ourselves when outcomes are not what we thought they should be. The label of failure has got stuck on the outcome by us. The outcome is an outcome. We have judged it as success or failure. But it is all about life's journey, life's learning. As Sri Aurobindo had said, it is irrelevant as to what is the work you are doing. It is how it is being done that matters. Whether there is an accompanying peace, calm, and equanimity, and the awareness that it is the Shakti, the divine energy, the presence, which is actually doing the work. So as the understanding goes deeper and deeper, these labels of successes and failures drop away. The result? Peace of mind. And of course, our favorite pastime is judging others as successes or failures. Judging ourselves as being a success or a failure. Which is nothing but the ego with its sense of doership. The last one, so I don't boil too much. There is nothing outside you. That is what you must ultimately learn. For it is the realization that the kingdom of heaven is restored to you. For God created only this, and he did not depart from it, nor leave it separate from himself. Heaven is not a place nor a condition. It is merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness, and nothing else within. I will repeat that. Heaven is not a place nor a condition. It is merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness, and nothing else within. Think of the person you like the least and think of this sentence. Think of a situation you like the least, and think of this sentence. And you will find your complaints dropping away. Even your complaints about the present situation. These days, we go up to our terrace for a walk. It becomes a very short length because you have to keep turning to walk back. It's not a free terrace in that sense. And some other people from the building are walking at the same time. So one of them kept complaining that it's very difficult to walk on the terrace because you have to keep taking right turns, U-turns, and then walking back. How it's so hard to focus, how it's not as enjoyable as a walk on Marine Drive, which is a straight stretch by the sea, and so on and so forth. And I said, yes, I agree with you completely. But when this lockdown was not there, did we thank God every day for allowing us to walk on Marine Drive? We take all that for granted. That is the nature of the ego. when things don't go my way, then I start complaining. So is your life right now a life of complaint? Is the dialogue in the mind one of complaining? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? No other species are complaining. But we are at the top of the pyramid. So we take it upon ourselves to complain. The gift man has is that he is aware that he is aware. He is conscious of being conscious. And imagine we sell that awareness so cheap by complaining and judging.